Here tonight, going to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Upper Room youth can be dismissed, your class. Kids can be dismissed to their class. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Kind of a short verse, but awesome. It said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to talk tonight on this one word subject. I want to talk to you about value. Values. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There's nothing in the world more precious than life. Life is the most precious thing. Human life is the most precious thing on this planet. There's nothing else that God created that He made in His own image. There's nothing else that God breathed into and gave life but human beings. I have been reading some wacky stuff lately about some of the social engineering that people are coming up with. They're saying that we need to move all the people into cities, big mega cities, so that we can turn the rest of the earth over to the animals. That's real smart thinking. Amen. And it seems like they're willing to extinguish a lot of people to try to balance things, but they're not volunteering to go first. That's always kind of my gauge of whether somebody really believes in something or not, is if they're willing to go first. So if they want to depopulate the earth, then let them go first. I'll take my turn when the Lord decides it's time for me to go home. I mean, there's some funny stuff happening today, folks, some weird stuff. But life, human life, is very precious. That's why the most severe punishments are reserved in our criminal system for the taking of life. That's why people will fight on in hospitals and go to extreme measures trying to save life, because life is precious. That's why flags are flown at half mast when dignitaries die, because life is precious. That's why warriors go to war, to preserve life and make life better for those they leave behind. And that's why we should honor our warriors, is because they're giving their lives for our own. Life is very precious. There was a figure in history, a man by the name of Telemachus. He was an early Christian hermit. He wanted to serve God, so he went off by himself so he wouldn't have any temptations. And he was living in a cave and in an isolated environment, and it dawned on him that by living that way, he was extremely selfish, because serving God in seclusion, he wasn't helping anybody but himself. So he left there and he begged his way to Rome, what he felt to be the most needy city of his time. And when he got to Rome, he found that they were doing gladiatorial events in the Colosseum, and people were literally fighting to death there, and human blood was being shed, and lives were being given. And Telemachus went to that particular event, and he marched onto the fields hollering and praying, that they would stop the brutal acts that were going on, the taking of life, and that he was literally killed and gave his own life trying to stop those events. And after he was killed, such a hush came over the crowd at the Colosseum. From that time forward, there was never another gladiatorial event. He literally gave his life to stop something that he believed was wrong, because he found something that he felt was more important than his life. I want to talk to us tonight about values. What do you value? You see, your values, that's what determines your life. What's really important to you tonight? What's the most important thing in your life? We are living in a, as you well know, an extremely materialistic age. I read about a guy that was in a car accident, and a pretty bad accident. When the police came up to the door, he was sitting there and he was humped over and he was crying. And he was crying over his car. He said, "Oh, my precious BMW. Oh, my precious BMW." He's crying because his car was destroyed. And the policeman pointed out that his arm was mangled and smashed and broken. And he said, "Forget your car, sir. Look at your arm." He looked down at that mangled mess and he said, "Oh, my Rolex, my Rolex, my precious Rolex." Well, that's materialism to the extreme. But we're pretty well there. People these days have their values all mixed up. And I want to talk to us tonight about our values. Amen. That's why Jesus made the statement. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also," or where your values are. We can say it this way, where your valuables are, the things that you treasure. What is really, really important to you tonight? What really matters to us? What's the most important thing in our life? Life cannot be saved. We can't save our lives. We have to spend our lives. Every day and you live, you get a certain amount of moments and a certain amount of seconds and a certain amount of hours, and you will spend those. You can't save them. Wouldn't it be nice if we could? But we can't save. Life has to be spent. And every day you and I exchange 24 hours of our life for something. We give 24 hours of our very short lifespan to something. What are you giving your life for? What are you exchanging your hours for? And are you getting a good exchange? Are you getting something that's worth having? You know, literally, when you work on a job, and we all have to work, and the Bible says that we should work, and work is an honorable thing, but you're working and exchanging 8-10 hours of your life for something. What are you giving it for? What are you spending it for? What are you getting in exchange for what you give? Amen. We exchange our time and our talents and our money, and what are we getting for what we are spending? That's the question. That's what really matters here tonight, is what are we getting back for what we're giving? Let's look at some things that I think all of us would agree are valuable. Education is valuable. Anybody agree with that? Education is valuable. I'm very thankful that somebody taught me how to speak. This would be a very boring service if I couldn't. I'm glad that somebody taught me to read. It was an arduous process. It took a long time. And I'm a lot better at it now than I was when I started. But it was hard. I'm glad somebody taught me at least elementary math. I'm very thankful for that. I'm glad that somebody taught me, and it was valuable. I exchanged 12 years of my life just to get the basic stuff. And then I exchanged 4 more years of my life to get a beginning of Bible knowledge at Texas Bible College. And I consider that time very well spent. My daughter has spent probably, oh goodness gracious, only the Lord knows how many years she's already spent. A whole bunch. And a whole bunch of money. Amen. But she's almost at the end of the journey here. Amen. And she would tell you tonight, she feels like that it's what God required of her. And whether or not somebody else understands that, education is valuable. Education is valuable. If you didn't believe that, you know, you wouldn't go to a lawyer when you need a lawyer. You wouldn't go to a doctor when you get sick. Anybody think it's important to have an educated doctor? I kind of would like to have one that knew something about medicine and the human body and how it works and how it's supposed to work and what's wrong when it doesn't work like it's supposed to be working. Amen. I like to have somebody knows what they're doing. It makes me nervous. It makes me nervous enough just because they call it practicing medicine. That already makes me nervous. But when he's not practicing well, that really makes me nervous. When he's looking on his little microscope or looking at an x-ray and he says, makes me say, what? Amen. And so education, all of us would agree tonight, is a valuable thing. It really is. And it's not an end in itself, but it's supposed to inspire awe and not arrogance. If your education inspires arrogance in you, that's not good. Amen. You should never look down on your nose at somebody else that doesn't know something that you know. You should. It should inspire really humility that you actually know that. And do you have the opportunity to learn it? Amen. I find that people generally that look down on others that don't know what they know are pretty insecure individuals anyway. Amen. They're just pretty insecure about themselves. So education should not make us proud or arrogant, but it should inspire awe in us and in others. Amen. The Bible spoke of educated people in the book of Acts chapter, I believe, 17, when Paul was in Athens, the other Athens, the one in Greece. And he went to the place called Mars Hill. The Bible said that the Areopagites went there every day to hear and to be heard. Now, what I generally have found with people that want to hear and be heard is that they want to be heard more than they want to hear. As a matter of fact, they spend, while somebody else is talking, they spend all their time thinking about what they're going to say when it's their turn. And so there's not a lot of learning that's going on. Amen. I saw something one time I thought was pretty cool. Brother Wesley, you got any money? I don't want to embarrass you. What do you got there?
I got a dime.
You got dimes. I got a dime. Yeah, I got a dime. Okay, you got a dime, and I got a dime. So you give me a dime. Okay, I'm going to give you a dime. Now, what did we gain? Nothing. Because I had a dime. He had a dime, we exchanged dimes, and we both still have what we had when we started. But if I know something that you don't know, and I tell you what you don't know, then you learn something. And then if you tell me something that I don't know, then I've learned something. So both of us have gained. That's the value of education, you see. Thank you, sir. That's how we learn, is we exchange ideas. And when somebody gives you an idea or some knowledge that you didn't have, that's more valuable than money, isn't it? because you actually gain something that you didn't have before. And you exchange, you give something, and the other person's benefited by that. So that's how education works, and it's very important to us. It is, it's valuable, but it's not the most valuable thing in the world. I read about a professor that came to a stream, a river that needed crossing, and there was a little boy there, and he got in the boat, and the little boy started rowing him across, and he said, "Son, do you know anything about psychology?" He said, "No, I don't know anything about psychology." He rowed a little bit further, and he said, "Well, do you know anything about theology?" He said, "No, I don't know anything about theology." And every time he asked the little boy about one of his ologies, the little boy said, "Don't know anything about that." And then all of a sudden, the boat sprung a leak out in the middle of the river, and the little boy said, "Professor, do you know anything about swimology?" He said, "No, I can't swim." He said, "You're fixing to lose all your life." All of his ologies, but he didn't know anything about swimology. So education, what's really most important is what you need at the time. And I have learned on things that it doesn't matter what I know. What seems to matter the most is what I don't know. Because I always run into something I don't know. Anybody else have that problem? Amen. So that's why I'm always calling somebody saying, "Hey, do you know anything about this?" I've learned that there's people that know stuff that I don't know. And I call them because they know things I don't know. So education is valuable. It's very valuable. Work is valuable. Amen. It's important that we work. Work is very satisfying. Matter of fact, people that don't work are usually not very happy people. Because if you're not doing something and creating something. Do you know what I think is really funny? This is the way we're set up. This is really interesting. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I got a promotion today"? Do you know what a promotion is? It's more work. That's what a promotion is. You get more work, you get more headaches, you get more problems, and you might get more money. Sometimes you just get a title. If they can't give you a raise, it's what they give you is a title. Amen. And so, but we feel good about having a promotion because that means that really somebody's put confidence in us and they saw that we were able to do something and so they honor that. That's a good thing. But you know, one thing we don't want to do is to confuse our work and what we do with what we are. We're not human doings, we're human beings. You know, if you ask a man, you say, "What are you?" He say, "Well, I'm a welder." "No, you're not. That's what you do." "I'm a preacher." "Well, no, you're not. That's what you do." But if we're not careful, we define our lives by what we do instead of what we are. One man's epitaph said that he was born a man and died a grocerer. He started out as a man and died as a grocer because that's what he did and that's what he became. But we don't want to lose our identity. It's important that we understand that. I like the guy, somebody asked him, said, "What about you?" Said, "What are you?" He said, "I am an ordained plumber." Amen. What he meant was, first of all, I'm a Christian. First of all, I'm a witness. First of all, I'm a soul winner. And I'm a plumber, so I can do that. Amen. So I can afford the privilege of being a Christian and being a witness. And so he had his priorities right. First of all, I'm a Christian. First of all, I'm a child of God. First of all, I'm His creation. And then I do something to earn a living to be able to do the things I need to do. So work is valuable. I believe that. Family is valuable. I think family is one of the most valuable things in all the world. I was reading today that Lyndon Johnson started the war on poverty, what was it, in 1960, 61, something like that. And it's been a long war, and we haven't gained much. The time he started his war on poverty, 19% of the population were below poverty level. Today, 15% are still, after trillions of dollars we've thrown at that, it's still about the same as it was when we started. It's a war that we're losing. You know why we're losing that war? There's two things. And the number one problem we're losing it is because of family values. If we can't keep families together, we'll never win that battle. We'll never win that battle. You got to families where it's all. That's why God started families. Families were not man's idea, it was God's idea. Marriage was not man's idea, it was God's idea. God started this whole thing, and he founded it in a way that he intended it to go. And when you break apart what God made the essential building blocks of a society, you'll have problems that you can't solve. And so families then are extremely, extremely valuable to God. But families, like individuals, have to have values. What are your family values? You know, one of the saddest things I think that we've lost is supper time. And if you're real educated, maybe it's dinner time. I don't know what it is at your house. But it's that last meal of the day when you get home from work and everybody else is home from work and the kids are home from school and you all gather around the table. And now some people don't gather around the table, they gather around the television. That's problem number one. They don't talk. Amen. One of the greatest strengths of a family is that you talk, you communicate. You talk to one, you like to talk to one another. And you like one another most of the time. Most of the time. It's important, isn't it? But communication is essential in a strong family. You cannot have a strong family if you don't communicate, if you don't talk. And so it's important that we have that we speak together as a family. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I think it's very important, I feel strongly about it. I see families that bother me because their children are so involved in stuff. And the parent, one of the parents at least, just really becomes a taxi driver. Because they've got to get them from choir practice to soccer practice to basket weaving, you know, just from one activity to the other, just as fast as they can get them there. And the kids are never home, and they never talk to the parents, and the parents don't have time to talk to the kids. They just keep them involved in stuff. Amen. Anybody ever heard a child say, "I'm bored"? My dad had a good care for that. He handed me a hoe and he showed me some weeds. And he said, "You cut these weeds and you won't be bored." Amen. Amen. And if that didn't do it, then he could take away the hoe and just say, "Just pull them up, son. That'll cure your boredom." And so there was a way of curing boredom. But that's one of the big things today. People are bored because you know why? Their mind, from the time they're just infants, is full of activity. If I may do this, and I guess since I have the microphone, I can. You know, if you get a book and you start reading, you can read at your own pace. And you can use your imagination. You can imagine what those people look like. You got all kinds of things you get from reading. But if you sit in front of a television set or a computer screen or a telephone screen, whatever it is, and everything's there for you, the story's told, and it moves at a great pace, and it's frantic all the time, no wonder we have hyperactivity in our children. Mm-hmm, Brother Grissom, that's pretty smart. Did you figure it all by yourself? Isn't that right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, if that's all they do, you ever seen the roadrunner? Beep, beep, round. It's everything so fast. It's all about solving everything in 30 minutes. You got to get it all fixed. 30 minutes, another one comes on and everything's solved in 30 minutes. And you learn that everything in life can be solved in 30 minutes, right? No, it can't. But your mind gets trained to that. And it's no wonder all the, you know, kids from the time they can sit, and that's what they're exposed to, and then you put them in a classroom and you put a book in front of them. And it's like, what's that? I have to think? Everything's been thought for them. Everything's been done for them. Well, I'm just giving you a little idea here. You may not like that, but it makes sense to me. You see what I'm saying? Hyperactivity and all that. So then we got to keep them happy. You got to keep them involved in all kinds of stuff. And so the parents, the taxi driver, you run here and you go there and you take them here and take them there and take them here and take them there. And then everybody comes home and just in time to get a shower and get in the bed and get up in the morning and do it all again. Isn't life exciting? Amen. Now here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you this question. If your children never sit down and talk to you and you never sit down and talk to them, where do they get their values? Where do they get their values? Obviously, they're not getting them from you because you never talk. You know where they get them? From their friends. And where their friends get theirs, God only knows. But you know where I think they get it? Those little things that are plugged in their ears all the time. I think they get it from music that they listen to. I think they get it from movies that they see, programs that they see. I think that's where they get their values. Because you never get to talk to them. Does that make any sense to anybody? Folks, we need real families. We need families that talk, communicate. And I'm not preaching to anybody here tonight. I don't know that enough about many of your families. I do know this. Most of the families I know, I appreciate you very, very much because you do exactly what I'm saying. Amen. I am one of those warped individuals that grew up without a television. I missed a lot. I know I did. I had to. Amen. But we never had one in my house. Brother Martin was, I love his reply. He was talking to somebody after he got saved and got rid of his television. They said, well, what do you do without a television? He said, you know all that stuff you never get around to? I said, yeah. He said, that's what I do. Amen. All that stuff you want to do but you never get around to, that's what I do. Amen. So you see, we need to put family. It's valuable. Family is very valuable. It's too valuable. Your children are too valuable to get their values from someplace else. They need to have your values. And of course, where do you get your values? Well, you need to get them from God. You need to get them from the house of the Lord. You need to get them from the Word of God, Spirit of God. And you get your values, and that's what you value. And when you get that and you have these values, you can pass them on. And so it's very, very important in a household, in a family, that you have values and you pass your values on to your children. Amen. So you see, worship should be of value. Prayer should be of value. Word of God should be of value. Work should be of value. Education should be of value. Family members ought to be of value. Really should be. It really should be. And it will be if you make it so. And you have the power to make it so. So I'm just talking tonight about about values. There's a lot of false values in the world. Amen. I was they're like things. They're like fools go. Have you ever seen fools go? You know what that is? You better learn. Amen. Somebody might try to give you some, tell you it's gold. Amen. But it's not really. It's what do they call that? Pyrite? No, what's it called? But it's not really. It's not really gold. It's goldish colored. But it's not real gold. It won't stand the test. And so there's fool's gold in the world, and there's somebody said, oh, that glitter's not gold. And so there's a lot of values. And again, this is where, and I don't mean to ride this horse to death, but I want us to understand tonight that we need to get our values from the right source. Amen. Too many people are taking their values to something that's not even real. And this is going to surprise some folks, but it will surprise not anybody here, but there's people that they think Hollywood's real. My brother had a guy that worked for him. And there was a television show many years ago called The Rifleman. And he come to work, he was all excited about The Rifleman. He said, man, that rifleman, he sure can shoot that rifle. And he said, you know what? When this little boy grows up, he's going to be just like it. It was in his head. He was just living it. Amen. I have read of people that actually went out and bought special garments to sit down and watch some wedding on TV that they, some of their, what do they call them, soap operas. And they were somebody's getting married, and it was all big deal. And so they went and bought a brand new dress so they could sit there and watch them get married. Man. You see, their values are messed up. Values are messed up. And when we take little bitty girls and we make them up like Hollywood, I'm trying not to say it. Amen. But they slather them with all the stuff and put big old earrings hanging her ears down and make them look like streetwalkers when they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Something sick about that. Said there's something sick about that. Somebody's got their values messed up. Big time. And let me go a little further with this here. We got the girls, and let's talk about the boys and the girls. When you go to a little league game or a peewee ball game and you fight with parents in the stands about the kids playing on the field, you got your values mixed up. It's supposed to be F-U-N, fun. They're not professionals. They're not being paid. They don't have a contract. Let them be children. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. I know some of my own family that some of them got kicked out of the ball games because they got too hot because their kid was playing and they got a little steamed about some things and they kicked them out. Your values are mixed up when you get there, see. When we teach our children that winning is everything, winning is not everything. It's a game, for goodness sakes. And when you can't separate a game from life, you got a problem with your values. Right after 9/11, there were a group of soldiers shipping out to Iraq. They were in a airport and the Super Bowl was playing. Everybody was all excited about the Super Bowl and wanting to know who they were rooting for. And then all of a sudden they said, well, you know, my mind's not really been on that. I'm going over to Iraq to fight for our country. And I just hadn't really been thinking much about the Super Bowl. There are some things that are more important than the Super Bowl. Anything that gets out of balance, folks, we've got to have values, have real values. Does this make sense to anybody here tonight? We need to get our values straight. Amen. And again, this is something that bothers me. It bothers me that, where are heroes? Where are our children's heroes today? What kind of heroes can they have? There was a football player a year or two ago made the statement. He said, "We're just like the soldiers in Iraq. And we got on the football field every Sunday and we fight for that." I thought, "You jerk. Yeah, you fight it for several million-dollar paycheck and adoration and worship. Yeah, you really fight and you're really sacrificing, aren't you? Go home to your air-conditioned car and get in your air-conditioned house." Well, from the flack he got, he apologized for it. Because most people can see the difference, can't they? That there's a lot of difference in a soldier fighting for our freedoms in another country and somebody that's carries a football on a football field and gets paid ridiculous salary for it. And I guess I can't really blame them. It's the people that pay all that to see it. But I'm not going to go there either. I go all kinds of places. But you see what I'm saying? We need to get our values straight. We need to get our values straight. Amen. Do you know why it costs over $100 to go to a football game? Because people pay it. You know why they have $26 hot dogs at a football game? Because people pay it. If you won't pay it, they won't charge you. If you won't go, they'll close it down. We just need to get our priorities straight. Just that simple. Amen. I'm wound up here tonight, and I'm coming unwound. Is that all right? There's just some things that I think are wrong. They're just wrong. Amen. But we've got to get our values right, because that's what matters in life. If we don't care. And we let our values slip. And it won't be long until our nation's gone. And it's going now, folks. Because we've got too many people in important positions that don't have the same values that we have. You need to be very careful about that voting process. And it may be that you and I are going to have to start running for office. To get somebody with some sense up there. Amen. Would you vote for me? I'm not running. I'm running from office. Even religious leaders. Did you know that you need a religious leader that has the same values you have? Somebody that you can get good values from. There are some religious leaders that have sold their values too. And they don't stand for much of anything anymore. I've got to hurry on here. But Jesus Christ founded his life and his church on values. Jesus founded his church on values. The number one, somebody asked Jesus one time, they said, "What is the first and the greatest commandment?" Jesus said, "The first and the greatest commandment is this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. You know, the first building block of your life is that you need to know God and love God with all of your heart. It's number one. He said in the second, they didn't ask about the second, but he gave it to them anyway. He said, "And the second is like unto the first. thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Those are two great values. First of all is love God. Secondly is love people. Somebody asked Brother Tenney about building a church. He said, well, there's three things you got to do to build a strong church. He said, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to love the people. And he said, and the second thing you've got to do is you've got to love the people. And he said, and the third thing that you really need to do is you've got to love the people. And he said, well, what about loving God? He said, if you don't love God, you sure won't love the people. Amen. It all starts with God. All real love starts with God and then trickles down. The Bible said the Holy Ghost is shed abroad, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's where that kind of love comes from. So then you love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, and who is your neighbor? It's whoever's in need. It's whoever's in need. Amen. It turns into service, doesn't it? Praise God. Now, James talked about that in his little epistle. He said, if you go by and you see your brother, and he's sitting there in the cold, and he's got on a thin little garment, and he's shivering, and he's shaking, and his lips are blue, and he's freezing to death, and you say, God bless you, my brother. Be warm. Oh, you're very spiritual, but your brother's still freezing to death. Help him. Don't just bless him with your words. Help him. He said, if you go by and your brother's without food, and you go by and you just say, oh, be filled, my brother. Eat well. God bless you. And well, what has that done for him? Probably made him mad at you. No, he said, feed him. See, love has to be expressed in action. So that's those are values to what I'm talking about here tonight. Loving God and then loving others, and you serve God by serving others, and those are values. That's what it's all about. Those are our values. Amen. And so the Bible said where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. That's where it is. And I've, you know, some people put everything into their house because their house is their treasure. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a good house unless it's your treasure. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car unless that's your treasure. There's nothing wrong with having a good job and making money and a good education unless that's your treasure. But if that's your treasure and that's your value and that's what you cherish more than anything in the world, then you're out of balance. Amen. All those things exist for the sake of service. Amen. They sit for the sake of service. Amen. Now, I believe that we have a lot of balanced people around here. I believe we do. You're very balanced. Thank God for that. But I've been places where folks were not so balanced. Amen. And as soon as they would get a little extra, they would want to buy something else for themselves. When do we get enough for ourselves? And when do we start helping others? You see what I'm saying here. I'm not putting anybody in condemnation here tonight. I'm not trying to put anybody. As I said, we got balanced people here. Most of you are doing extremely well at what you do. But I'm just simply saying that I'm talking about our world. You know what I'm talking about tonight. It's all out of whack, isn't it? Amen. It's because people have, that their eyes are so full of stuff. So full of stuff. Amen. And you know, I think we got in trouble when shopping became a verb. When it became entertainment. You know, you can't go to a mall and look all day. Most people can't without buying stuff. And really, what more do we need? But if you go look, you're probably going to find something. Yeah, shake your head like this right here. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Did you know that Walmartin is the verb? Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to put things in balance for us here tonight, folks. Of course, we have comparison shoppers. You know, they know what they're doing. They know the name of the game. Amen. And we're not against Walmart. I'm not saying anything against Walmart exactly. What I'm saying, though, is getting into a frame of mind where, you know, when we spend what we don't have to buy what we don't need, that doesn't satisfy. Amen. I understand there's even a shopping channel, or maybe several. Go to the TV and you can just sit there and with your little credit card and your telephone and you can spend your way into oblivion. Yeah? Interesting world, isn't it? Interesting world. But if you get some values, build your life on, then none of these things are going to move you. None of these things are going to move you because you have balance. Because your values, they determine the direction of your life and what really matters to you. I was getting a haircut today. Everybody said, finally. Thank you. Finally got there. And there was a news station on and television there. And, you know, they've got one everywhere. So, and Dick Clark died today. And so they started talking about a lot of different people that I guess he helped on their journey, helped them achieve success. But a lot of those names that a lot of people, you know, it means a lot to some people. But what bothers me is this, and I'm getting ready to hush. I am. You don't have to hit me in the head or anything. I'm going to stop before that happens. Right before. Here's the thing. People can name all day long. They can name rock stars and singers and movie stars and sports figures, and they can't tell you the 12 apostles. But they're Christians. Said they're Christians. They can't name the Gospels, the first four Gospels in the Bible, but they're Christians. But they can name all this other stuff. They can give you stats for every baseball player, basketball player, football player, but they'd have a hard time quoting Acts 2:38. What's the problem? Values. I'm not against people keeping up with sports. That's what you like to do. But I'm just saying, make sure your values are straight. Get your values all right. Amen. And because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm glad we still have church on Super Bowl Sunday. And we don't even have a big screen TV in here if it's showed on. We don't even have a party when it's over. Amen. I'm glad for that. I think that's a good thing. I'm glad that Jesus is still king around here. He's still Lord of lords and King of kings. And he's the only one we worship. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because we got our values right. Amen. Your values are important. It's what you think is important in your life. I read a story many, many years ago. I heard a story about a man that had been entrusted with a very precious coin. And he was supposed to transport that coin across the ocean. And it was a rare coin. It was one of a kind. So he started with this coin, and he had taken it out of his... after a while, he'd look at it. And then after he took it out and looked at it a while, he started handling it. Then after a while, he started kind of playing with it. Then after a while, he got so familiar with it that he'd take it out of the room. And he would flip it, catch it. Until he was flipping it on the ship, and the ship rolled. The coin splashed into the sea. He just became so familiar with something that was so valuable that he lost the importance of its value. You see, we can't get too familiar with the things of God until they lose their value. If you really understand God and the things of God, they'll not lose their value. They'll increase in value. And they'll ever be more important to you. And rather than lose it, you'll want to hold on to it ever more tightly. People that lose it are people that really don't understand the value of it. And that's when you start losing things. So we need to establish our values, and then we need to hold on to it all we've got. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight. I know we've been a little lengthy here. Values are something that's important to us. Values are something that's important. You need to establish values in your life, and you need to hold on to them with everything you got. Learn what's important. Learn what's valuable, and stick with that. Do you know how people made it through the old Great Depression years? Because they had the values straight. They made it. My family, my mom and dad, my aunts, my uncles, some of my older brothers, my oldest brother, my sister, my two oldest brothers, my sister, they all made it through those times. You know how they made it? They had their values right. Their family was first. Everybody had shared. Everybody worked together. They came through the hardest time in our nation's history. But you know, I'm not so sure what would happen if we do it again. I read about people saying, well, you know, we better start storing up food and water. Amen, because hard times are coming and you better store it up. I'm not sure that's going to do you any good. Because if somebody will shoot you today for enough money to do drugs one more time, what do you think they're going to do when they're hungry? When they're starving? They don't respect you any more than the next fix. Sure not going to honor you whenever it comes to feeding themselves or their family. We're just in a troublesome time, folks. But I want you to know the rapture's right around the corner. Amen. We're getting ready, as the song said, to leave this world. Let's get our values straight. Let's keep them straight. Amen. Shall we? Lord Jesus, tonight, thank you for giving us the Word of God. It is the only true guide that's going to get us through this troubled world. So thank you for the values that are in it. Thank you, God, for the instructions that are in it. And that's what's going to get us through all these things that we're facing. And establish our values on the Word of God, our relationship with God. And that's what's going to carry us through life successfully, happily, joyfully, peacefully, and successfully. Thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Brother Jonathan Adams wants to be baptized tonight.